G'day folks, this is The Stace with a live AFL for this Sunday, the 15th of May 2016. Let's start with a chat I had earlier this week with Adam Wilson from the Baulkham Hills Juniors. Here's Adam. Now I have on the line Adam Wilson with me from Baulkham Hill Hawks Juniors AFC. Good morning Adam, how are you?
Good morning Mike.
I was nearly going to say at the start that you were the president, but you're not the president. You have, what, an executive committee running the juniors club now?
That's right, yes. We've decided to break up the role of the president and distribute those roles amongst an executive committee, which is made up of four members. The role, not a responsibility, so we like to share that responsibility amongst four of us.
Right.
And we can equally have input into the running of the club.
How closely are you affiliated with the Baulkham Hill Hawks that we know and love from years?
Our affiliation?
Yes.
Well, we're all
part of the one. Yep.
Part of the one. We're all members of have kids participating at the club.
Right.
So we're all actively involved, and the club now in its 40th year and celebrating 40 years this year, which is a great milestone for our club.
Oh, it certainly is. I mean, Baulkham Hills and Pennon Hills have been up there for years and years, and of course, Baulkham Hills was the birthplace of our East Coast Eagles, wasn't it?
Exactly right. Yes. Yeah. So we were running under a couple of banners. We were the Falcons there for a while, and the Baulkham Hills now run a AusKick program all the way through to an under-17s side.
Right.
And then once the boys move from 17s, they move into senior footy, which is our affiliation with the East Coast Eagles.
Right, okay. This is your first year in the Western competition, and previously you were in the North Harbour competition, and that involved some significant travelling, didn't it?
Yeah, so the AFL had done some restructuring in the Sydney and the Greater Sydney competition. So there were three competitions that were originally running. They had a South, a Sydney Harbour, and a Greater West competition. They've now divided that into two. So they now have a Sydney Harbour, which incorporates the South, and a Greater West competition.
Yeah.
So they gave us the option a couple of years ago to move into the Greater West competition, and we felt that our club this year was probably in a position, given the success that GWS have had in the region, it was an opportune time for us to move across and help them boost the numbers of AFL in the Greater West.
And we were talking earlier, there hasn't been sort of dramatic increases from year to year, but I suspect there's been some significant increase in juniors since the introduction of the Giants. Would you agree?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I think the Greater West competition, and not talking from experience because we weren't a part of that competition, but Baulkham Hills have always been on the border, so we're always privy to what was happening out there. We weren't getting the direct impact that the Harbour competition was getting, you know, from the Swans. So I think with the Greater West setting up in Blacktown and now at Homebush, they have a strong focus on the region and building the numbers up.
Before we came on air, you're talking about the move having not been without its problems, and you made the comment, cowboys and uncovered wagons.
Yeah, I think like all new things for our club, you know, we have a club with 40 years of history of playing North. Now to be part of the Western competition, it has been an experience in itself. So going to new grounds, meeting new oppositions, new clubs, teams that were new to us. The quality of the competition is vast because it is such a large region, which runs, it goes all the way down to Camden, up to the Blue Mountains, out to the Hawkesbury. So it is a vast spread of kids and playing talent. So all those clubs have their own issues of drawing talent, and have probably been the detriment of not having that exposure of GWS, they will now get the benefit of that. I think looking forward, it's a pretty exciting time for the AFL and for GWS when you're looking at their own memberships and attendance numbers at their games is only, and then we look at our own numbers internally with the AusKick, our AusKick program. I think we've got 120 kids that are involved in that on a Sunday morning.
Gee.
Which is significant. You know, and I think the GWS identified that they're important years, the AusKick program, the 10s, the 11s, the 12s. That's when kids are making decisions about what game they want to play and what they want to be a part of. The other big part of our program and in line with the AFL is the girls' footy, and that's a significant change. We've got three teams in a girls' football competition, which is really successful.
And that's going to just take off next year with the national competition, I would think.
Oh, exactly right. So I think the good thing with the AFL at the moment, there's clear pathway for all the kids in all programs. So whether you're from Auskick level, there's a pathway to move through the ranks and play footy. For the girls, they've also got their own pathway too now, which they can move beyond their club competition into more elite level of competition in representative football.
Exactly. Are you saying that you're getting more visits from AFL players now that the Giants are in town?
We have more access, yes, absolutely, to GWS players and to the club in general. The communication, there's an open communication now between the clubs and GWS directly. Yeah, they have ambassador players for our club.
Yes. Who are your players?
We've got Jeremy Cameron.
Oh, good one.
Yeah, so he's a really good ambassador for our club, and he's come down to our jersey presentation nights. Yeah, the GWS have worked really well with clubs. In the past, prior to the GWS, we had to rely on players coming from Victoria through the Hawthorn Club.
Oh, I see. Okay. That's a bit of a challenge.
It was a challenge for them, and it was a huge ask, and it never really eventuates some seasons, but yeah, certainly we see it with the GWS.
As part of the Harbour competition, though, were you serviced by the Swans?
Yes, but not to the same extent. As you can imagine, the amount of teams that were in the Sydney region, yeah, we didn't get the full access. So they certainly did player visits at times. That's not a direct result of the Sydney Swans. I think that's just more the number of clubs that they would have had to have covered at the prior to the GWS team entering the competition.
Yeah, that's a good, very good point. It's a very good point. I got very hot about the Battle of the Bridge being sanitised out from the publicity this year, because I think it really was like that the Swans were pretty much entrenched in the East and they didn't venture very far out of it. But as you say, it was a lot of territory to cover for just one club.
Yeah, absolutely. And whether they were getting the financial support to do that, it's just time and management. I've found the infrastructure, whether it be Sydney Harbour or Sydney West, to be quite coordinated, and there's a stringent process there. So they've done a lot of groundwork. It's now about just building up the player talent and the player numbers so that it is a very strong, viable competition.
You were saying also, Adam, that a lot of kids play league on Saturdays and AFL on Sundays, which is why the AFL basically started playing on Sundays.
Yes.
But you seem to think that a lot more kids are making AFL their first choice now?
As the professionalism is coming through the sports, as it is with all sports. You see soccer academies, rugby league has always been strong. But now, particularly with the GWS, the pathway is a lot clearer for these kids to be elevated into academies or into representative football. So now they can see a pathway for themselves to sit there. If they want to make the decision to make this their game of choice, they can. And I think with that decision, then they're more committed to training nights, and you know, we're all limited with time. And I think they, they're making AFL their first choice.
That's good news, I think. And it's a long story. It's not the short game we're playing here. Yeah, I think it's all positive, and it's good to see it's happening at junior levels, Adam. And thanks to efforts from people like yourself, of course.
Yeah, it's wonderful. Thanks, Mike. And thanks for your radio station supporting us. We're, as I said, this is an exciting venture for Baulkham Hills in our 40th year, and I see it's real positives. I think the AFL need to be commended on the work they're doing back into the community.
Yep.
We are seeing it at our level.
Yes.
Which is fantastic.
All right. Well, look, I think we'll leave it there. Thanks, Adam. We'll be back in touch with you later in the season to see how you're going. And I thank
Good
you
on
for
you,
your
Mike.
Time. See you, mate.
Wonderful. Thanks very much.
Bye.
Okay, bye.
Now, here's our seniors today. A little puffed Gus Seabeck and much rested Ian Parker from Pennant Hills. How are you guys?
Yeah, good morning, Stokes.
Morning,
Gus.
I'm Hank. Morning. I'm hanging in there just. I've got about 1% left in me, but that's all right.
Yeah, folks, Gus has been good enough to join us after actually running a half marathon. They say you don't get crazy in your middle age, but maybe you do. I don't know. What do you reckon, Ian?
I can't comment on that because I played football up to about 45 years of age.
Let me just clarify that, Stace. I'd say running the half marathon's a bit of a stretch. There was some running that was done, but...
Okay. Anyway, let's get on to the footy. Not much in the local competition this weekend. The Eagles would be having to rest up this week after busily running between the centre bounce and the goal square back and forth all day with a big win over the Western Magpies. 26-26, 181 to 2-4-16. That's a pretty big win, Gus.
Yeah, and I've got to say, it's unusual for the Sydney comp. There hasn't been a sort of blowout of that proportion for some time. I think we've commented earlier in the year that the competition seems a lot more even. But look, the poor old Magpies are obviously not having a great time of it at the moment. And yeah, the Eagles, very, very comprehensive, which, you know, it's nice if you're an Eagles fan to bank those points and a bit of percentage. But for the sake of the competition, it's always nice to see a little bit more even games, but these things happen.
Yep, that's it. That's it. And of course, Pino would be well rested because they had the bye yesterday. They won that one at least, Ian.
That's right. Bye yesterday. Front up again next Saturday against UTS. So that'll be a good game because UTS have been on a bit of a roll. And unfortunately, yesterday they got rolled by St George Dragons. So it's an interesting competition, as we've said many times. But I agree with Gus. Yesterday, Eagles really trounced Western Suburbs. And, you know, that's not good. Must be a few problems down at Western.
But the big news yesterday for me, apart from one that we're going to come to, of course, Gus, is the Giants and an enormous win over the Gold Coast Suns yesterday. As I posted on Facebook, and it might change today, but Giants are actually sitting third on the ladder and the Swans in fourth, which should make for an interesting Battle of the Bridge repeat in a couple of weeks. What do you reckon, Gus?
Yeah, look, it should, absolutely. I went to the game yesterday at Spotless. It was fantastic. And just a quick credit to the Giants. I had a lap of honour for all the local junior footballers in their region. So there was about 35-odd junior clubs. Penno were there as well, well represented. And my boy walked with the Des Moines Power. So before the game, there was about, I'd say, close to 1,000 kids, perhaps, and parents who did a lap of honour about the supporting junior footy. They had the umpires there as well. It was a fantastic way to start the day. And then really, the Giants never looked like they were anything other than winners, pretty much, from the first quarter. They opened the scoring early. I think it was 4-1 at quarter time. And Jeremy Cameron, and they started to have a bit of a field day. John Patton was great up forward. Rory Lobb again, and dominated through the midfield. It was, having been out at Spotless Stadium over the last few years and witnessing some absolute drubbings on the other end, it's nice to see that almost now there's an expectation that the Giants, you know, they're winners every week now almost. The expectations flipped pretty quickly. And I'm really looking forward to this weekend's game against the Bulldogs on Sunday. It's going to be a belter.
Success all over the place, Ian. 5 wins on a trot. Not too bad.
Not too bad. And, you know, as Gus said, they controlled it right from the start. And I think that's the fourth time in their last 5 games they've scored more than 125 points. It was also good to see young Jacob Hopper in his first-class debut. I think he got over 30 disposals. And, you know, that was great. A few handballs, a few marks. But you know, they played really well. And unfortunately, Rodney Eade has got a bit of an injury toll. And Ablett went right down. Went down right at the end of the game, so they're going to have a few problems for the next few weeks, but I'm sure Rocket will get them back on track.
Oh yeah, they need some more players back on the park, a bit like Collingwood, but then Collingwood turned it around yesterday.
Certainly did.
And oh look, that Jacob Hopp, I heard Ben Dixon on the TV during the week, and he had great raps on him, and gee, the kid didn't disappoint. 32 disposals or something in your debut game is not bad, Gus.
Yeah, I think he had 11 touches in the first quarter. So, I mean, what a dream start to an AFL debut that is, which is amazing. And it's wonderful for the Giants, but gee whiz, the Gold Coast, they've got some issues. I mean, the only time that they ever looked like they were competitive was when Ablett had a few bursts and started winning some clearances, and they looked like half a chance. But other than him, there was just no one on the ground that actually stood up and showed any sort of leadership or any sort of spirit or any fight. It was really, really flat, which from a young side that's got, you know, should be just full of energy and up and about and, you know, all these kids living their AFL dreams, it was pretty disappointing. So they've got a lot of work to do, the Suns. Admittedly, they've got a huge injury toll, which is never great. But no, I thought they were very, very flat and a long way to go.
Well, look, folks, I can't leave it any longer. I made a big call during the week and said to Gus, oh, Sydney, you've got the bye this week, when in fact they were playing Richmond. And, God, words that come back to haunt you, don't they, Gus?
Well, you know, as we've said about the Tigers, it's a roller coaster, it's a journey. And I have to tell you that I did decide to go to bed early last night to prepare for my half marathon, thinking that there was nothing, no good footy to watch on the telly, so I'll just slide off to bed. And after I finish, I'll just click the radio on here and see how it's going. And then, oh no! So I'm back out of bed and back in front of the TV and just watched the most of the second half, which was it was fantastic. And look, this is the thing about the Tigers, they can do it when they turn it on. They just, for some reason, they just, the switch is either just on or off, and it's week by week, you just never quite know. And it's been the case for a number of years, and they thankfully managed to switch it on last night when it mattered.
Ian, I'm sorry, mate, but I'm going to have to go out with an audio grab I've got of the last couple of minutes of the Richmond Tigers match. Oh, mate, it's every AFL kid's dream. Kick a goal on the siren to win the game. I mean, it doesn't get much better, does it?
Certainly doesn't. And, you know, you've got to hand it to Richmond, the way they fought back. During the third quarter, it looked as though they might get rolled easily, but then they fought back again. And then the Swans were in front early in the last quarter, and they fought back again. It was good to see Ben Griffiths. He kicked 5 goals. And also young Daniel Rioli stamped himself with 2 final quarter goals, and there was a brilliant running goal after taking 3 bounces down the wing. So, you know, that's good for young Rioli, another Rioli with his name to kick goals on the MCG.
Yeah, there you go. All right, guys, thank you very much for your time this morning. I appreciate it. And let's go out with the last couple of minutes of the Richmond Swans game last night. Bye for now.
Look at them all trying to get back. There's some tired players. And 15 seconds left. Hampson knocked down. Parker sharp hands. Lloyd in amongst it. Buddy able to kick the ball inside 50. Rance gets back and marks. Last line of defence. They look to launch. Boys kick set. Chaplin a bit of a task. Coming in Jones. Now Towers with some leg speed. Goriellis, great tackle. Wrapped him up. It spills out of the first game of Hitchcock's. And Brandon Ellis wrapped him up. Massive moments in this game. They've got to get it moving. Minute 47 remaining. He has to pull the trigger here, Ellis. Through the corridor, it's the right move. Who can stand up? Off hands. And now it's Lloyd who jams it back inside 50. Chaplin, he can't pick it up. Rance again, well smothered. They keep it inside 50. They're out on their feet at the moment. Chaplin to Morris. Can they work it through by hand? They can. They found a little bit of space here. Dusty needs to be clean. A little bit of a panic kick. Didn't think about it too much. Perhaps he didn't have time. And the mark taken by Rampy.
They've got a number back. They should be able to milk time here, Sydney.
A minute and 9. Umpire says play on. He doesn't bother. Too tired. Franklin comes at the footy. Over the top they go. They need to find some space here, the Tigers. Out the back door, Martin caught with it. And Towers will be given the free here. So they can milk it. They must man up. There are Sydney players everywhere.
The Swans players know it. They know how long is left.
Look at Franklin off the side of the ball here, Towers. If you just go wide, why wouldn't you?
Hasn't looked at him.
Buddy looked to the bench and said, how long? They said about 30 or 40 seconds. Now an opportunity here for the Swans. Rance got it out. Little one over the top. Rioli did well with the spoil here. This is the Tigers' chance. They must go from here. Did really well over the top of the ball, Jones. Picked up by Franklin. Got it back inside 50. The Tigers, Sinclair. In went Hanbury. Hard at the footy. Here they go. Out the back door. Floss Stone. Again, I think it's going to come back again. Picked up by Riewoldt. Riewoldt got it out wide. Griffiths, will he keep going? Will he go? Little one over the top. And the mark's been taken by Lloyd. 5 seconds. Lloyd is going to have a kick. After the side. Gee whiz. A goal is the only thing that matters. Boy.
Look at the Swans. They're getting everyone back. Sinclair's pushing back. McVeigh saying, get down here. We can touch this on the line.
Every kid dreams of this opportunity. Lloyd from 45 to win the game. He